When your eyesight is at stake, it pays to travel to one of the world's leading eye surgeons. Dr. Johnny Gayton is an author, speaker, Christian leader, and a renowned surgical eye expert. Whether it's cataracts, PRK, LASIK, or implanted lenses, when only the best is needed, see Dr. Johnny Gayton at eyesightassociates.com.
This is Hans Scheil from the Finishing Well podcast. On Finishing Well, we help you make godly choices about Medicare, long-term care, and your money. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
This is the United States champion.
He became my personal savior.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following contest is set for one fall. Introducing first, from Lithuania, he weighs 123 kilos, the Russian Nightmare, Nikita Koloff.
Now, the Devil's Nightmare. Welcome back to another episode of It's Time to Man Up. Today we've got with us Doc, welcome to It's Time to Man Up.
Hey man, how you doing?
I am doing great, and it's great to have you with us, man. We are going to talk about a topic today that is very relative to today's day and time. And one thing I like to do each week is just that, just bring timely stories or a message that's relevant, and you certainly qualify. And so what we're going to talk about for our listeners today, we're going to expand on this. I'm going to ask you to expand on this, but it's called the SWOT League, and it's an acronym that breaks down to Sports World Against Trafficking. And maybe, Doc, you could just kind of open up our conversation with to our listeners. Maybe that they're not familiar with trafficking and what exactly that means, what human trafficking is, and who does it impact.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, most people have probably heard the terms human trafficking by now, and I think most people know it's a bad thing. You know, that doesn't necessarily mean that they really have an idea what it has to do with them or what it could have to do with them. So human trafficking, a lot of people, you know, especially when they think about, you know, children being trafficked, probably, you know, focus their thoughts over to other countries, maybe third world countries, things like that, where they, you know, kind of envision children being sold. And unfortunately, it's something that's very rampant here in United States. It happens in every state. I would be pretty assured in saying that it happens in a lot of our the majority of our middle schools and high schools, as shocking as that might sound. And you know, when it comes to trafficking, there are, you know, there's a lot of debate, obviously, on the statistics, because it's such a hidden thing. You know, we only know what we know based on, you know, the ones that we rescue, or the johns or pimps that we are, you know, we're able to arrest. But the reality is it's the fastest growing crime in the world, and it's a $150 billion global industry. Hate even having to call it an industry, but that's, you know, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And it's just a sick thing. I mean, it's the target age. You ask who it impacts. I mean, the target age of victims in the United States for girls is 12-year-olds. A 12-year-old, and then for boys, yes, there are boys who are trafficked as well, as 13. The average age is 13. That's the target age that they're brought into trafficking.
It's interesting. Those are interesting numbers, Doc, because, you know, even through studies and of past, you know, generations or even cultures, and I know 12 and 13 is a real critical time in a boy or a girl's life. And, you know, in the Jewish culture, for example, and I'm sure I know you're familiar with this, you know, they've got a rite of passage, right? They've got this bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah for the girls, and a rite of passage from their childhood, basically from being a girl stepping into woman. womanhood or for a boy stepping into manhood. And so very interesting age, not that it's solely limited to 12 and 13 year olds, but that's a critical age in a young man or young woman's life when it comes to their maturity, right? And so interesting to me that that's kind of a target number. Doc, let me ask you something else in relation. So, because, you know, you mentioned, you said something about a crime, and I made a note, I wrote down, it's like, it's actually like the, I think I saw it on your website, and we'll give folks that, but it's kind of like a hidden crime in plain sight. Did I see that on your website? A crime hidden in plain sight.
Yeah, there's a couple of terms I think that are used a lot. A lot of people call it modern day slavery. It's a crime hidden in plain sight because, you know, basically saying you may be seeing it, but you don't realize you're seeing it. And, you know, it's the demographics are really broad. I mean, there's no race, there's no social demographic that's immune. You know, there's wealthy children that have been trafficked. There's, you know, obviously children who are from more poor backgrounds or who have more need that the traffickers can prey on are more prone to be lured in. And, you know, that's another thing. It's, you know, one of the misconceptions I had when I first started learning about it is, you know, my envision was, okay, mom and daughter are at the mall and they get separated and, you know, somebody throws the girl in the van and takes off. But most of the time it's fraud and coercion where they, and that's one reason the age, the target age is, they're luring the kids in where they're being, you know, kind of coerced into going with someone and just don't realize who that person really is because they're kind of feeding on a need they have. And it's not always sex trafficking. It could be labor trafficking or whatever, but, you know, the sex trafficking has really gotten so much attention because of how vile and all that it is.
That was actually, that just leads right into my next question was, is there a difference for our listeners out there? Is there a difference between human trafficking and sex trafficking, or are they one in the same thing?
Well, there are different types of human trafficking. Sex trafficking would be one of those types. So labor trafficking is basically, you know, forced labor, cheap labor, that kind of thing where somebody's using someone claiming ownership of someone, kind of like you would think of slavery, you know, in America's past. Sex trafficking is what it says. They're basically prostituting or selling children or, you know, and they're not always children. That's just usually when they come in to the life as a minor. I've probably met with about 250 survivors over the last several years that I've been involved in this, and I've yet to meet one who was not brought into the life before they turned 18. I'm sure there's exceptions, but most of them are being brought in, you know, as minors. But anyway, to answer your question, yeah, sex trafficking is one type of human trafficking.
Oh, okay. And would you, I'm just curious because I'm just learning more and more about this, and your website was quite enlightening, to say the least. You'd already mentioned one statistic, $150 billion. And yes, it is unfortunate to call it an industry, but it is what it is, right? But the statistics are staggering to me. I think I read also on your site, every 6 seconds, someone becomes a victim of human trafficking. Is that right?
Based on the numbers that are estimated, you know, that's globally, obviously, but, you know, the FBI estimates right here in the United States there are over 100,000 women ages 9 to 19 that are being trafficked, which, you know, that's more than enough to fill most football stadiums. You know, that's a lot of people. You know, so it's very prevalent. And even with COVID going on, when I talked about the fraud and coercion, sometimes that's in person. It's somebody who befriends someone, a girl or boy, and lures them in, you know, just in person. The other thing that happens, and, you know, a lot of people hear about it, is online, social media. There are predators online who pose as other kids or pose as, you know, whatever, and lure those kids into meeting them somewhere, and don't know what they're going to. And unfortunately, it's a trafficking situation. And it's always, it's also, you know, it's sometimes it's where they're held in bondage, you know, where they keep them. Sometimes it's they hold them through, and it's all, there's always bondage, but sometimes it's through threats, you know, where they may, you know, invite them over, they may come over and get risque pictures of them or something and hold that against them. You know, we're going
right.
to put these on the internet, or we're going
right.
to do whatever if you don't do what we tell you.
Blackmail. So I think
right.
the old term, blackmail, right?
Right.
And, yeah, you know, it's interesting because I've seen a few videos recently that really, honestly, Doc, just turned my stomach. And it was, in some cases, high-profile individuals. In other words, wasn't just Joe Blow. I mean, it was high profile. I'm not trying to pigeonhole anybody here. Just understand, though, in these different communities, people that are known in their community. Let me just say it that way. But what kind of turned my stomach was, it was that the videos I saw was actually a person who was portraying themselves as a minor, communicating with these individuals, and it was a setup. It was a setup to go meet them and expose them for their perversion. And it was incredible. I mean, some of these people are like, I mean, they're like getting out of Dodge as fast as they can, but the person's filming the whole thing. So you get to see who they are, and they mention their name. And I mean, I just, when I first became aware of this, it just kind of, it is kind of hidden in plain sight, because you just don't really, at least I didn't really kind of think about it or certainly not talk about it. But that's why I wanted you on the show, because this message needs to get out and the awareness needs to be created. You mentioned having met about 250 individuals. Am I right to say only about an estimate? I know these numbers can kind of be, you know, again, they're estimates, right? But only an estimated 1% of victims are able to escape or are rescued. Is that fairly accurate?
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, because, and a lot of that is because there's a lot of forced drug abuse and addiction. So a lot of them end up, there's obviously a high suicide rate. You know, when somebody's been raped once, you know, that's a traumatic event. Imagine being raped 15 times a day.
Yeah, repeatedly.
For years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's some sort of numbness to it, but there's also forced drug addiction. So there's a lot of suicide. There's a lot of death by overdose and a lot of that. So it's, you know, it's, and there's a lot of, you know, it's just something that's hard to prosecute because, you know, think about, you know, if somebody with a chemical dependence getting credible testimony is not the easiest thing in the world. And
right.
You know, they kind of get these victims into thinking, you know, becoming dependent upon their pimp. And you really have to stop it before it happens. You know, the rescue rate is just so minute that you really just have to stop it before it starts.
That's just staggering. And it just kind of takes on that, obviously, with social media and access to minors and portray yourself, you know, as someone, you know, just, hey, this is just an innocent meeting. No, but knowing, you know, what your intentions are, it gives a whole new, really takes it to a whole nother. I can think back of my younger days growing up, back in the days when missing persons were on milk cartons. I mean, there may be some listeners out there going, I don't even know what he's talking about right now. But, right, I mean, there was that time, right? That's almost kind of the beginning of this whole, right, this whole the missing person. Would you say, Doc, that even back in those days, that may have been, I guess, a form of human trafficking, right, or sex trafficking with the missing person on the milk carton?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I know people that have been doing this, you know, for in this industry, you know, working to prevent 25, 30 years. And I mean, obviously you can't say every case, but what's happened is, especially the gang oriented, the gang led, trafficking, they've learned, you know, I mean, think about selling a drug. All right. So if you, it's all based on greed. It's not even about to the pimps. It's not about sex. It's about power and money. And so, you know, you think if you sell somebody crack, you know, you sell that crack and that crack's gone. But when you've got a human body, a human person that you basically claim as your property, you can sell that person over and over. And, you know, it just, their overhead, as they would think of it in business terms, is a lot lower.
If you would like to support Koloff for Christ Ministries, for a gift of $25, Nikita will send you his two CDs, Adoration and Declaration. For a gift of $50, Nikita will include his book, Wrestling with Success. And for a gift of $100 or more, Nikita will include a signed copy of his newly updated life story, A Tale of the Ring and Redemption. Go to www.koloff.net and donate today.
Nikita Koloff here, and I am excited. Did you hear the huge announcement? The big announcement? Well, maybe it's a minor announcement. Anyway, Facebook, go look up my new fan page, Nikita Koloff Fans, and like it and follow today. So why, tell me why did you decide to get involved?
Oh, God. I worked in faith-based, which obviously as a Christian, I mean, I am still a faith-based person and, you know, still love leading people to the Lord, but it was something where I got exposed to it through some of my other ministry work and through a couple of months after I first started learning about it, some things that just were coming into my life. You know, I'll put it this way. It wasn't something I was looking for. obviously, nobody's really looking to learn and see some of this just moral depravity. But, I mean, it was something I just felt like I had. God just gave me an idea of some things I thought would bring people together to help. And just felt like I kind of had to.
Well, in fact, you mentioned ministry. It's how you and I originally met through
right.
through ministry, and we've known each other for many, many years. And I've been blessed to be a part of some of the things you've done, whether it's been crusades around different parts of the world or prison ministry and just a variety of different, as you mentioned, different types of ministries that I've been a part of, and your vision for just reaching the lost, and now in this case, reaching the what might seem to be the unreachable, but and or as I keep going back to this, the crime that's hidden in plain sight, just the awareness of that, and so I really appreciate your heart and even your desire to be a part of this. Let me ask you, Doc, about the dark web. If there may be a listener out there that doesn't even, they're like, what's that all about? Can you take a minute and just kind of expound on the dark web?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there are websites that, you know, a lot of people are probably most familiar with, the one that got a lot of attention about 2 years ago, Backpage, where it's kind of like Craigslist, but for things that are not legal. And that's kind of what, you know, that happens. I mean, there's a lot of that. I mean, police monitor it. I mean, one of the technologies that we're actually using is we have a bot that poses as a teenage girl that's being operated in about 12 cities now that intercepts transactions. And just to give you an idea of how rampant it is, in its first year, this bot intercepted over 27,000 transactions.
Wow.
And that's just in like 12 cities. And it wasn't in 12 cities the whole time. It started in 2 cities. So, you know, we want to get that expanded into every major city, obviously, but because it kind of puts the fear of God into people that would consider doing this. But, yeah, I mean, the dark web is where a lot of these people are sold. These kids are sold online. And, you know, police monitor them. They know about most of them. They use it as a way to locate. And I mean, you know, it's kind of one of those catch-22. I went to a conference and heard a mother speak who had found her daughter on Backpage. Well, Backpage got shut down. Now, obviously you think, well, that's a victory. We got Backpage shut down, so those girls can't be sold there. But had it not been for Backpage, she wouldn't have found her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she was able to find her there. So, you know, it's one of those, you know, it's hard to, you know, make an argument. You could make an argument both ways, but, you know, the real, you know, the pimps and all that are, you know, I don't mean good in a way of good or bad, but the pimps that are good at what they're doing, you know, they're going to find, you know, just because Backpage is shut down, they've still got the girls. They're going to traffic their,
yeah,
they're going to find ways to do it. The key, honestly, Nikita, is demand. You know, It's like any kind of industry. You've got to kill the demand. Technology, I mentioned, is one way to kill the current demand by just putting fear into people that they could get busted. But then, you know, what SWAT League is doing, you know, when we get to that, we've got an idea that we think we can help kind of kill the future demand. So.
Good. Well, that's good. And because you said it's not just a United States problem, it's a global problem, right? And
yeah.
But you're doing your part here in the United States. How can we recognize, like, how do we recognize it? Like, you know, how do we recognize if we see it? How what are we looking for?
Well, you know, we try to educate schools, teachers, counselors on things that they can look for because they're around kids so much. There's a lot of characteristics you can look for where, you know, if there's a major change in a kid's life, their appearance, if they all of a sudden start wearing a lot of jewelry, if they're leaving school with somebody that's not a parent, if they, you know, there's a lot of different, you know, red flags. And it's not that any individual red flag would mean anything, but if you see several of them together, that could mean something. As far as people, you know, you just, it's really hard to tell. I mean, because it's so hidden. I'll give you one example. As a male, you know, that travels a lot, that you travel a lot, when you check into a hotel, if you're checking in and they ask you, if the desk clerk asks you questions that are a little bit personal, you know, like, you know, are you here for business or personal? That's not too bad. But when you say business, if they get into, oh, well, what kind of business? You know, if they're, you know, sometimes they're trying to get, because there are hotels that enable it, you know, where they may take $10, you know, on the side for every event they let to happen in their hotel. So there's a lot of, you know, and that's one thing that our current administration has done a good job at it with some of their initiatives is, not to get into politics because this is something bigger than politics, but they actually issued some stuff that helps where you can prosecute enablers strongly in addition to the traffickers.
Yeah. And the most effective way is to stop this, you think?
Demand is really the biggest thing. You know, that's why, you know, you mentioned our organization, Sports World Against Trafficking. I mean, what we're trying to do is something unique while we're educating kids not to get lured in, to recognize if somebody, if you or a friend might be getting groomed, is what they call it, when it's you know, that luring in could be a month, 2 month long process that somebody spends patiently to get your trust, to get you to go with them. It's not like, hey, let's go get in the car. Most of the times it's something that takes time to build that trust. And that's something people need to, you know, the kids need to recognize. You know, you mentioned earlier the friends that will, there are friends in a school who are working for pimps that will invite other girls to come over and spend the night. They'll have a sleepover. They'll get provocative pictures. And that's, you know, that's how they bring them in. So, you know, there's a reason why parents need to know the parents of their kids' friends and where they're going and
right.
That kind of stuff. You know, there's a lot of precautions parents can take. But anyway, there's an indirect relationship between the sports industry and trafficking. A lot of people hear about it around the Super Bowl. It's not the sport itself, but anything that brings people into a city to fill up the hotels kind of increases your potential clientele if you're the pimp. And you think about sporting events, you know, you're talking about a lot of men coming into a city looking to be entertained. Your overall base of people that might want to be interested in this kind of increases. And so we've got several athletes. I mean, Ray Lewis is our co-founder of the organization. Some of the other wrestler guys, you know, Sting and others that you know are involved in. And so what we are doing is, while we're educating young children not to be a part of the supply, is to use these male athletic role models who are so revered in our country to speak out and say, you know, this is not right.
This is
not how you treat a person.
Right.
And try to put the fear of God basically into them to know if you get to a point in your life where you think you're going to participate in this, you need to do it with the understanding that you're contributing to rape. Because, you know, like I said, the majority of victims, well over 98%, I would say, based on my experience, 100%, are brought into this before they turn 18. That's a felony. That's rape. even if they're 22 when you do it with them, you know, if they were brought in at 15, you're contributing to that rape. And it's important that we're blunt and that we make kids understand if you participate in this, you're participating in rape. And I think the voices and influence of these athletes can help reduce the future demand.
Yeah. Well, we just got a minute or two left here, Doc. And you know, I know there's some headway being made. I was researching a little of this Operation Patriot down in Houston, Texas, a sting operation with 23 agencies involved, and they rescued five out of the human trafficking. 46 arrests were made. I know another state I saw where Operation Autumn Hope, U.S. Marshals recovered 45 missing children in one state, making 179 arrests. And I know from your website, I do recognize a few faces there. You mentioned Ray Lewis, Bobby Bowden, Stane Kurt Warner, and some others there. And I people will get an education from your website. I like what it said: enlighten, educate, engage, empower, and then eradicate. In our last few seconds here, where can people find it? What's the website? Where can people find out more about this, Doc?
Oh, yeah. For our website, it's SWAT League. So it's SWATLEAGUE.org. You can go there. I will tell you that we've got some incredible technology we're going to be launching in January that everybody will hear about, because it's going to go out into schools and through the sports leagues and all. I don't want to give too much information out yet, just because we don't want traffickers hearing stuff and finding out. But there's some really cool technology coming out next year that I think is going to give parents a way to help protect their children and such. So, go to SWATLeague.org. Keep up with us there. You can sign a pledge on the website, you know, that you'll do everything you can to help prevent and educate. And,
awesome.
You know, the more people that are aware and understand, you know, how it works, the better.
Absolutely. So, folks, go to SWATLeague.org and partner with all these high-profile celebrities who want to enlighten, educate, engage, empower, and then eradicate human trafficking. Let's keep this in our prayers. Pray for Doc and his organization, and let's make an impact. Let's make a difference and eradicate human trafficking, sex trafficking. It should turn your stomach. I know it turns mine. Till next time on It's Time to Man Up.
This podcast is made possible by the grace of God and your faithful prayers, support, and generous gifts. May God bless you for your continual contributions. Go to koloff.net and donate today.
Hi, Nikita Koloff. Be sure to check out the Man Up Show, now available on television, broadcast, and podcast. Go to MorningstarTV.com or the Truth Radio Network. Check out your local listings, or better yet, download the Truth Network app today. Nikita Koloff here. If you're needing to buy a car and have marginal credit and considering using Buy Here, Pay Here, that's worse than taking the Russian sickle. Winston-Salem Motor Cars will put you behind the wheel of a car you can rely on while helping rebuild, repair, or establish your credit score. Conveniently located on Silas Creek Parkway in Winston-Salem, be sure to check them out today at WSMC1.com, because you are number one.
This is the Truth Network.